Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Today is June the 29th in the year 2011 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Very exciting week last week. I was on vacation last week and finally got back after spending a week in the hills of northern Georgia at Woodruff Scout Camp with 60 other Boy Scouts from my troop and a couple hundred from several others. So it was quite a break. I will apologize. Last week we tried to automate our show that was supposed to run, and it didn't as it was supposed to, so we actually had to air it the next day. So for anybody who had called in or were trying to listen to us online, our apologies. We think we fixed the problem for future shows, although I don't plan to be on vacation at least for another, at least a month. So anyway, with that, tonight our show is the impact of ADHD on non-ADHD siblings and how to manage things. With us in our virtual studio is Keith Lowe, as she was last week. I will confess that we, for scheduling purposes on her end, we actually had to tape this show too. So this has been a series. This month I think we've had one live show and the others were taped, although I will assure you next week we are going to resume back to the live stuff. So let's get into the interview with Keith. So here you go. Our topic today, the impact of ADHD on non-ADHD siblings and how to manage things. With us in our virtual studio is Keith Lowe. Before we get into things, just a reminder out there for our iTunes listeners, and really all of our listeners for that matter, if you would like to receive in advance a listing of our upcoming shows with descriptions, just go to attentionradio.com. Again, that's attentionradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. And we will have our schedules sent to your inbox bi-monthly. So that's really kind of exciting. I want to get into things today because I'm pretty excited about this particular topic. A lot of attention is paid to ADHD and those impacted by ADHD, but not a lot of attention is kind of like really kind of focused on the impact it has on the non-ADHD people in this particular siblings. And with us today to talk about this is Keith Lowe. She's the ADHD guide for the New York Times About.com website. She's a contributing writer and expert panelist for iParenting.com, part of the Disney Family Internet Group, and has a clinical scientist appointment at the Center for Development and Learning at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. She's currently a full-time writing professional. She's also a psychotherapist with a background in child and adolescent psychology and is experienced in working with children diagnosed with ADHD and their families, as well as families dealing with disruptive behaviors and accompanying oppositional defiant or conduct disorders. In addition to individual and family therapy, child and family assessments, treatment planning, behavior modification, and social skills training, she has led parenting groups and provided clinical supervision to other therapists and social workers. She has worked with preschool and school systems, classroom teachers, psychotherapists, pediatricians, and other professionals who interact with children and families dealing with ADHD. You can learn more about Keith and her work at add.about.com. So with that, Keith, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
You know, I love doing this show because it forces me to do research in some areas that, while I might think I know something about it, I don't necessarily do, and I always learn something. And I, in preparing for the show, it was really kind of fun because I learned a lot myself, and I'm anxious to learn more from you today. Because I don't think a lot of attention is really faced on siblings in these particular situations. And I think this is an important topic. So I guess to begin, what are the issues facing non-ADHD siblings?
Well, there can be a wide variety of issues. But what can commonly happen in families who have both a child with ADHD or kids with ADHD as well as those without is that sometimes there can be so much energy and attention on the child with ADHD because they do require this high level of monitoring and energy and creative parenting. But sometimes what can happen is that the siblings' needs can end up taking a back seat. You know, sometimes their needs can end up getting neglected. And also, there does tend to be higher levels of sibling conflict in families who have a child with ADHD as compared to, you know, in families where there is no ADHD present. And that makes sense, you know, if you think about how ADHD can impact relationships in general, you know, with peers at school or in the neighborhood. Kids with ADHD, many of them, particularly if their symptoms are more moderate to severe, they tend to be fairly quickly rejected by their peers, or if they make friends, it can be really hard for them to maintain that friendship. And, you know, the same is true at home with siblings.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. So I guess what I'm hearing is that because the ADHD sibling requires so much energy and so much kind of attention, sometimes it's just, for lack of better terms, just kind of exhausted at the end of the day, and sometimes the non-ADHD sibling's a little neglected?
Sometimes that can happen, yeah.
Mm. Let's talk about the interplay among siblings. What do they learn from each other, and how does ADHD impact things?
Well, one of the very important things that siblings teach one another is social competencies, like how to get along, how to negotiate and resolve conflict, how to share, how to cooperate, as well as things like trust and empathy. And when kids are very young, siblings are really dependent on one another for companionship. And of course, when they age, you know, and they get older and enter a school setting, their network of possible friends expands and it grows. But especially when kids are young, the sibling relationship, it's not only like a really intense peer relationship, it's also one you can't really escape from, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you're having trouble at school with a friend, or, you know, for the most part, you can get away from that person. But the sibling relationship isn't one you can escape from. So if it tends to be a combative relationship, that can be real stressful, and it can, you know, it can affect the rest of the family, too. So so sibling interactions, they have an impact on the development of socialization skills and even on emotional development, and also how a child perceives him or herself. And then, so you're obviously going to have an additional layer of complexity added to that relationship when one of the siblings has ADHD, because these are the areas that can be more difficult for a child with ADHD. The social skills or the interpersonal skills.
Yeah, you know, I'm just thinking as an adult, if I'm working or dealing with somebody who has ADHD, you know, my mind is kind of mature and kind of, you know, if I have to deal with them in a teamwork situation or trusting situation, I have a level of experience and maturity that kind of helps me manage that. But I'm just thinking about, you know, you got a non-ADHD sibling who's got an 8-year-old brain. You know what I'm saying? That's learning these social skills that's not really kind of fully developed to maybe be as understanding. So it seems to me that this is particularly probably challenging for them, just to kind of learn the social skills and maybe cope with any differences or inconsistencies.
Right. And you know, it's normal to have some sibling rivalry, jealousy, you know, and just competition in any family. But when there's ADHD, when that's present in the family, it just can kind of raise, you know, the stress level and the conflict, and, you know, just take it up a notch.
Yep.
And so, you know, for a child who struggles with that impulsivity or difficulties with self-regulation and inhibition or other symptoms that can affect the relationship and strain that relationship, that can affect the sibling dynamics with the family, and it can lead to more conflict or more quarrels. And the other thing is it can, you know, if there's a lot of quarreling and fighting, it sometimes can lead to sort of a, you know, less feelings of warmth or distance, or even sort of discouragement in the sibling relationship, or in their ties with one another. And then when the parents have to intervene so frequently, you know, in those battles between the siblings, sometimes it can even impact it can have a negative impact on the parent-child relationships in the family, too.
Certainly. It seems to me, you know, with those dynamics going on, one of the recently we had Dr. Barkley on talking about emotions and ADHD, and that was the impact of emotions and ADHD, but it's interesting to me because as a non-ADHD sibling, a lot of emotions, I'm sure, manifest as a result of dealing with the ADHD child. Can you speak to that?
Well, yes, I can't, but I should first probably say that, you know, ADHD can impact families and siblings in a lot of different ways. So there can be a really wide variation in the emotions that that non-ADHD sibling feels. And obviously today we're going to talk more about when things are more difficult in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And also there are things like the age of the siblings or the gender, where they fall in birth order. So whether it's an older or younger child who has the ADHD, and also whether or not one or, you know, more than one of the kids has ADHD, because it does tend to run in families, and also a parent may have ADHD. So all these factors can affect the dynamics in the family, in the sibling relationship, and the feelings that that relationship brings about. And again, I'm going to talk more about the challenges that, that ADHD can bring, but the flip side is that, you know, in terms of sibling relationships, you know, a positive and warm tie or connection with a sibling can obviously contribute as a protective factor, or it can help a child to be more resilient and more self-confident. But just generally speaking, when the child with ADHD is having a really hard time managing the symptoms, you know, home life can feel kind of unpredictable and frustrating. And, you know, the siblings might feel like they're walking on eggshells. And they can, you know, they can be on the receiving end of some pretty provoking and aggravating behaviors, and also of aggression. And after repeated exposure to this type of behavior, they can end up feeling pretty victimized. But on the other hand, they can certainly react and return that aggressive behavior themselves. And when the combativeness becomes more and more frequent, it can make it difficult for the siblings to feel a sense of warmth and connection with each other. So this can make it harder for them to want to work proactively to improve things, or, you know, to stop themselves from being reactive or responding to the provoking behaviors. And another big thing is that siblings might feel that the child with ADHD gets an unfair, unbalanced amount of attention from the parent.
Yep.
Or they can also feel that the child with ADHD gets extra chances or, you know,
yep,
more rewards, and so that can bring about feelings of jealousy. And, you know, you mentioned this earlier, but, you know, as a parent, it can be really hard to have enough energy left over for the siblings when sometimes the child with ADHD can be so demanding of your time, and, you know, you don't often have much left over after that.
Yep.
Also, socially, you know, the siblings can feel some embarrassment about the ADHD. They tend to be very aware of, for example, if the child with ADHD has a negative reputation at school,
yep,
or with peers in the neighborhood. So that can bring about some feelings of self-consciousness. But at the same time, the siblings can also feel very protective and worry about their brother or sister, you know, worry about them getting hurt or teased and rejected. They might worry about them getting into trouble or just struggling with school or having people get mad at them. So siblings can also feel guilty about, you know, about their own accomplishments and successes, especially if they're in a situation in which that their brother or sister is really struggling. Or on the flip side, they might feel pressure to achieve and you know, be successful.
Yep.
Or they can fall into that good child, you know, the
role
of being the good kid. And that's a lot of pressure, too. And then another thing is that the siblings might see the stress that ADHD brings to the parents. And so because of this, they may feel like they can't, you know, they can't burden their parents with problems they might be having. So some kids even begin to isolate themselves a little bit or withdraw from others. And I could probably talk forever about feelings, Jeff, but there is one more thing I wanted to say, and that's that sometimes there's like a, you know, the conflicting feelings that kids might experience, you know, the way that it can be confusing. So they might feel angry and resentment and jealousy. And they might at the same time feel some guilt, you know, or worry.
Yep.
Or, you know, at the same time feel very affectionate or protective of the brother or sister. And so, you know, the way that these emotions can be so varying, you know, that's sometimes difficult for the sibling as well.
The one thing that I'm taking from this is that the emotions that they might be feeling are going to depend a little bit on the family dynamics, but also
yeah.
a little bit on the nature of the actual child that you're dealing with, because, you know, not all kids are different, and they all react to the situation different. But
exactly.
really the emotions that they can have can run the gamut and really make this situation kind of complicated, just given what's going on and the differences within that family. So
it sure can.
I think the key for our listeners is to realize that, you know, there are a lot of emotions can be at play, and it can run the gamut. It can depend on what's going on. It really just going to depend on your individual situation.
Exactly.
Keith, I want to run to a commercial break real
yeah.
quick, come back, and we'll talk about the non-siblings' needs, particularly to be understood. But before we do, for those that want to get in contact with you, they just go to add.about.com?
Correct. That's my website. And also, people are welcome to email me as well. And I'll give you my email address. It's add.guide. That's GUIDE at about.com.
All right, with that, we'll be right back.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
ADHD, is it real? How is it diagnosed? How do I know if I have it or if my children have it? Do you outgrow it? You have questions and we have answers. We're CHAD, a national organization made up of professionals, parents, educators, and of course, those with ADHD. So if you want real answers to your questions, join CHAD at www.chadd.org or call us at 800-233-4050.
This is your ADHD information station. Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
News, updates, and alerts sent right to your inbox. Sign up now at attentionradio.com.
Awareness of how your brain processes information and emotion is the key to self-management and success in today's world. I am an international ADD coach. Contact me, Susan McIntosh, at susanmcintosh.com to see and hear how you too can be a success.
I'm Jeff Copper, host of Attention Talk Radio, here to talk to you about CopyTalk.com, a voice dictation service. This is not just some voice dictation software. It's a real dictation service by people who type whatever you want. When I need to document something, all I do is hit speed dial on my cell or work phone and start speaking. The folks at CopyTalk will type it up and email it back to me that day. The best part is I can dictate as many 4-minute messages as I want, all for one flat monthly fee. Go to copytalk.com/ATR, enter Jeff Copper as the referrer's name, and sign up for the free trial account today. If you tell them I sent you, then you'll get $20 off the monthly subscription for as long as you keep the service.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone, to Attention Talk Radio. With us is Keith Lowe, and we're talking about the impact of ADHD on non-ADHD siblings and how to manage it. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about emotion. I want to kind of shift a little bit, Keith, and talk about what needs do the non-ADHD siblings have?
Okay, well, yeah, I'm going to go back to emotions a minute, Jeff, because one of the very, and it relates to the needs, one of the very important needs of all kids, you know, and of these siblings is the need to be understood and to know that their feelings are understood. And again, there's such a range of emotions that ADHD can bring into the family, and it's important that children can express these feelings and learn to express these feelings appropriately and be heard and understood and accepted. So you might not always agree with your children, but it's important to hear things from their point of view and validate these feelings because, if a child doesn't feel like he or she's heard, you know, it becomes more likely that they'll either internalize any negative feelings or act them out. So one of the very first needs is that, you know, their feelings are understood and validated. And then a second need of these siblings is information. They need accurate information about ADHD. And when kids don't have accurate information, they tend to make up their own interpretation of things. And obviously when there's strain in the family or in the relationship with the siblings, they may begin to internalize some of the issues or
yeah.
just misperceive what's going on or get sort of stuck or bogged down in the problems. But
mm-hmm.
when family members have accurate information about ADHD, they can be so much more effective in terms of their interactions and, you know, less reactive and you know, more solution-focused as well.
It's to me, it's always the more information you have, the more it makes it real and you can kind of deal with it. It's when you
exactly.
don't know information that, you know, when you can't see the boogeyman, it's scarier than if
right.
you actually ever saw the thing. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
it really makes some sense to educate everyone on what's kind of going on because the more facts they have, the less intense it is.
Exactly. And then another need of siblings is, and again, this goes for all kids, but siblings, they need to know that their efforts are appreciated, that, you know, that as parents, we recognize their hard work and the effort they're putting into the relationship because, you know, it isn't always easy for them to deal with the ADHD, especially when their brother or sister's having, you know, a really hard time. And just to let them know that you recognize that and you appreciate it. And then finally, I probably should have said this first, but one very, very, very important need for the siblings is that they need positive attention. And one way to do this is just to schedule in regular one-on-one time with each of the kids. And really all kids do benefit from this. In terms of the siblings, it's important to have this special time to make sure they're getting the positive attention and nurturing that they need, especially when, you know, so much of your energy and day-to-day attention is often focused on the child with ADHD. And for the child with ADHD who may end up getting a lot of negative attention at school or from peers or wherever, this positive one-on-one is really valuable too. It's hard to do sometimes, but, you know, just some creative ideas, try to come up with some creative ways that you might be able to have this special time with the kids. And then just for all the kids, just try to catch the kids being good and give
uh-huh.
them positive feedback. Positive reinforcement is very powerful because it teaches children the behaviors that you want to see, so it shapes behavior in a positive way. And when you catch your child's being good, when you catch the kids being good, and you give positive feedback immediately and frequently, you know, you're using your powerful attention to increase compliance and appropriate behavior. So those are just sort of the general basic needs of siblings.
And I'm like, there's two things I want to highlight working backwards is catching the siblings and just all the kids doing things that are positive. We did a show about a year and a half ago, what does a second grade teacher pay attention to? It was interesting because one of the keys in the show was if you tell your kids what to do,
mm-hmm.
there's no loopholes, but if you tell them what not to do, they can always find a way around
that's,
what they were trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
And when you catch a kid doing something right, you're basically reinforcing what's going wrong, but if you say, no, don't do it that way, I mean, that's they're still open to find a different way to do what you're doing.
Exactly. You're not teaching them any new skills
yep.
when you just say, don't do this. So when you catch them being good, you know, you're teaching them, this is what I want to see. This is appropriate behavior.
Absolutely. And the other thing I want to kind of comment on is as I have been an ADHD coach working with adults, I've always learned that with work, helping adults with ADHD moving
mm-hmm.
forward is to emphasize with the ADD adult that, you know, your brain needs constant stimulation, so you always need something to pay attention to.
Right.
But it dawned on me a couple years ago that not only do people need something to pay attention to because our brains do that, but we all desire to be the object of attention.
Yeah.
We all like people to pay attention to us. And when we were talking about sitting down and understanding your kid and listening to your siblings and your child, it really kind of occurred to me is the way I can see that is just sit down and make your child the object of attention. Listen to them, pay attention to them in a real positive way, because we all like attention. It all feels good when that takes place, and when somebody pays attention to you, it always improves your self-esteem. So I just really want to accent those two areas because I think they're particularly important. Pay attention to your children. Let them be the object of your attention. Make sure you isolate the time for that to happen, and then catch them doing things right and tell them what they're doing, so there's no mistake. They know exactly what they are doing that's good.
Exactly.
There's no subject interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, I need to run to another break, and we
sure.
come back and we'll start talking about what parents should do for the non-ADHD sibling when the ADHD sibling's having some difficulties and when there's some frustration going on. And again, before we go, if you're interested in contacting Heath, if you go to ADD, or if you send her an email at add.guide@about.com, or you can go to the website at add.about.com.
Yes.
And with that, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ari Tuckman, author of More Attention, Less Deficit, Success Strategies for Adults with ADHD. This is the only book actually written for adults with ADHD. Each chapter is divided into short articles, so you can read only the stuff you want in the order you want. I take lessons from the research and make them totally useful in your daily life. You can get a free PDF of the first chapter at adultadhdbook.com. Check it out.
Okay, let's be honest here. How many times have you forgotten the wet laundry in the washer and it started smelling a little funky, so you had to wash it again, maybe even twice, in the same week? Well, you may be an AD Diva just like me. I'm Linda Rogley, and I founded the AD Diva Network for women with ADD-ish tendencies, especially those of us 40 and better. The AD Diva Network is a great place for support, connection, and a touch of whimsy. You can join us at addiva.net. That's addiva.net.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention@attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. We're here with Keith Lowe talking about the impact of ADHD on non-ADHD siblings and how to manage it. Keith, what... We've talked about a lot about the what non-ADHD siblings are up against, emotions that need to be understood. Can you talk about what should a parent do for the non-ADD student when the ADHD sibling is having some difficulty?
Yeah, well, it often helps just to tighten up supervision when you know your child's having a particularly hard day. And, you know, sometimes you can't predict what things will be like, but you may know that there are particular times of day, like transition times where your child has to switch gears, or maybe morning times where they got to get up and get ready for school, or right after school, or during homework time. That's usually a very hard time for kids with ADHD. Or if the child's on medication, it may be during the times when the medication is wearing off. So these may be the times that you know can be more challenging. So you may be able to predict some of the times problems are more likely to occur, and you can consciously provide more monitoring and supervision around these times to help all the kids. And reinforce to the siblings that, you know, even though they can't control their brother or sister's behavior, they do have control over their own responses to the situation, and you can help them by practicing and role-playing and you know, coming up with effective ways to respond to various situations so that the sibling has some positive coping strategies. And you mentioned this earlier, too, but, it's always a good idea just to take a step back occasionally and try to observe and recognize what kind of dynamics or patterns are happening in your own family and see where you might need to do some adjusting. And for both the siblings and parents as well, you know, if you can, try not to personalize the ADHD behavior. So understand that the moodiness or the inconsistency or the disruptiveness that you might see, it can all be related to the ADHD rather than it being something that's personally directed at you. And so it's helpful if the siblings can understand this as well, because then they're less likely to feel that the behavior is a personal attack, or they can understand it a little bit better.
I couldn't have said it any better. what can parents do to really just kind of help, just at a high level, just to create the right environment to kind of help manage this?
Well, the parents are the most powerful influence in a child's life. So the way you approach family situations and you know, build family relationships and label things in a positive way, when you focus on finding the solutions, you're setting an example for the kids. And so, you know, you can consciously work on fostering positive family bonds. So you make time for family time, like family meals, family activities, family vacations. Although at the same time, you want to make sure that the siblings have some time apart from each other as well, because there is such thing, you know, as too much togetherness.
Yep,
so
yep.
Make sure every family member also gets downtime and, you know, that time to themselves. And it can help to just simplify. So make sure that the family isn't overscheduled with activity after activity after activity,
yep.
Or if you as a parent tend to get overcommitted to too many things, that can cause problems too. So, you know, so know that it's okay to say no more often.
And margin in life is good.
What's that?
Margin in life is good.
Yeah.
When you get when it's really complicated, you know, the more things you got going on, the more things that can go wrong.
Exactly.
And when you're overscheduled and something does go wrong, it just can be it just has a trickle effect downstream and just can be chaotic. So.
Well, and it's exhausting too when your kids are going from one thing to after another to after another. Kids do need downtime and they need play time and they need to be outside running around and playing. And so. You know, just to be aware not to overschedule your life and your family's life as well. And then, you know, with everything, it's also important to structure the home in ADHD-friendly ways with clear house rules and consistent consequences and specific routines. And, you know, this helps make things more predictable, and it helps you as a parent because you already have a plan in place, so you know what's going to happen. If with consequences, you may, you know, you already know what you're going to do if one of the kids name calls or, you know, if they hit another, and so it's going to come more automatically. And this helps the kids, too, because they, you know, things are predictable for them. They know what's going to happen.
Yep, absolutely.
And you need to do a whole talk about this next issue is self-care, because many of us parents are terrible at that. But that's a big issue that gets overlooked. So in regards to parenting, just take care of yourself. Get a lot of sleep, exercise, eat well, get that downtime so you have more energy to deal with the day-to-day issues. And that is the same for the kids. Make sure all the kids get exercise and outdoor play and help them with their sleep habits and good nutrition. All that can really help. And I'm going to say one more thing. I know we're running out of time, Jeff, but I didn't even talk about the marital relationship, but that's a whole other area that's really, really influential in the family, the importance of parents supporting one another, getting on the same page around discipline and around treatment and just working as a team. And or if the family's divorced, that's still important for parents to be on the same page in raising their children, even if it's in two different households.
Yeah, you bring up there's a whole bunch of really good points in what you just said, and I wish we had a little bit more time.
Yeah.
But to comment on a few, just from a coaching perspective, the thing that worked is that when you're establishing family rules, many people start on the list of here's what you don't do: don't leave the kitchen a mess, don't you blah blah. One of the things that again goes back to what I alluded to earlier is tell them what they are to do. You are to, you know, finish your breakfast and put it in the sink, you are to clean up your bedroom, you're to do those things. So the house rules are not what you don't do, but they
exactly.
are what you are to do. And actually in my own family I found it very very helpful. We actually only have three rules. You don't talk back.
Yeah.
You respect your everything. You respect your things and everything else, because respect is a big deal. And in
yeah.
almost anything, if they're disrespecting something, then whether they're disrespecting somebody else's toy or whatever, it can fall into that category. And I'm forgetting it. No lying, no showing disrespect to anybody or anything, and I forget what the last one is right now. But the point really is that if you tell the kids, keep it simple what they are to do, it's amazing how much can fall under that umbrella.
Exactly.
And the self-care, I do need to do a show on that stuff, because so many times, everything's dedicated to the kids, and, you know, you're coming into bed in a cloud of dust in total
yeah.
exhaustion, and it doesn't do any good, because when you wake up tired and exhausted and kind of cranky, it just makes it much more difficult to kind of attack the day and deal with what's in front of you.
Yeah.
Before we kind of close things out, do you have any recommended places for some parents to get some additional information here?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of wonderful books and websites you can go to. Unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation on the internet as well, so you have to weed that out a little bit. CHADD is a wonderful group. It's CHADD.org is their website. And they you can go to their website, see if there's a support group in your area. That can be wonderful for parents. And CHADD also has parent training groups, so that's a good resource to take advantage of. In terms of siblings, if you want to look for books for the siblings, I'm going to tell you two that I like a lot. For the younger kids, there's a book called My Brother, it's a horrible title, okay, but it's a good book. The title is My Brother's a World-Class Pain, A Sibling's Guide to Hyperactivity. It's by Michael Gordon, even though it's, you know, it does address the inattentive symptoms too. So that's just a good book to help younger children understand. If it's a teenager or, you know, a preteen, there's a book called The Sibling Slam Book, What It's Really Like to Have a Brother or Sister with Special Needs. And that's a really good book too. And it's often helpful for the non-ADHD siblings from different families to get together as well. And there is a program called, it's called the Sibling Support Project, and it's geared towards helping siblings of individuals who have special needs, whether it be a health concern or developmental disability or mental health issues. So it's a little bit broader. And a part of how they provide this support, especially to the school-age siblings, is through peer support like recreational groups called SIB Shops. And I'm going to give you their website. It's www.siblingsupport.org. And you can go to their site and see if there's a group in your area. And also, don't forget about your doctor. That's a great resource. So
yep,
don't be
absolutely.
Shy about asking questions. And they can also let you know if there's support groups or parent training groups or anything locally as well.